I'm trying to make sure that everything that I'm teaching, you're going to have access to, and all the notes, scriptures, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to format a new manual. So now, first off, a couple of things we got to get settled. One is that the Word of God is our final authority. Is that right? Yeah. Opinions, doctrines, churches, statements of faith, while they may be accurate, they're not Scripture unless they are Scripture. Amen? So, we're going to look at that because this is what it's going to come down to. It's not about you hearing this and agreeing with it so we can move on to the next thing. Here's what's going to happen, usually speaking. You're going to learn this. And while I'm teaching, if you've never heard this before, while I'm teaching, your head is going to be saying, that's not what I was taught. That's not what I've been taught. That, you know, it's, your head's going to be screaming at you, right? Just like mine was when it was saying, you're going to bury another one. You're going to lose another one. Well, that's your unrenewed mind. That is the voice of the devil, okay? Very simple. While your head is screaming at you like that, okay? While your head is screaming, that's not what I was taught. That's not what I've been taught to believe. That's what your head's going to be saying. That's not what your heart is going to be saying. It's not what your spirit's going to be saying. Now, let's try to get an overview of this real quick. The part of you that's born again. When you got born again, your spirit got born again. Your mind did not. Okay? Neither did your body, technically. But your body, or I should say so, your body has not received full redemption in the sense that it's glorified. Okay? So the Bible says that the inward man is renewed day by day, but the outward man perishes. Right? Well, that's the natural function, and it is what goes on. However, the inward man being born again and emanating life can actually rejuvenate and keep the body from deteriorating to a large degree. Okay? A lot of people come to me and say, what about things dealing with age? You know, just older age, joints, ears, eyes, the stuff that people just normally see because of age. Okay. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you have to age like that. Okay? Now, I will tell you this. If all you do is sit around and watch television, and all you hear are all the drug commercials that tells you that as you get older, you're going to have these problems, so you need to talk to your doctor about this medicine, then you're probably going to be seeing the symptoms of those things because you are renewing your mind to those commercials. Right? Real simple. So you need to take heed to what you hear and what you watch. Okay? Now, secondly, if your doctor has to get medical advice from you, maybe a problem there, okay? Now, all right, now, the other day I was doing some research, and the number three cause of death in America right now is misdiagnosis. You hear that? The number three cause of death in America is a doctor's misdiagnosis of your problem or whatever it is you're dealing with, right? So basically what it's saying is that doctors are as deadly to you as heart disease and these, okay? Now, the reason I'm saying that is because when your spirit got born again, there is some, and this is, again, these are basic statements, but they have such far-reaching ramifications. The things I'm fixing to say totally destroy almost all the healing teaching that's out there, right? Pretty much everything I'll say all those 3 days will do that. But it goes back to this. Your spirit, when it was born again, you did not fix your spirit. God fixed you. right? Now, let me be very clear about what I mean by fixed. He didn't fix you by putting a Band-Aid on your spirit. He fixed you by giving you a new spirit. Amen. You understand? Your life, his life was put into you and gave you a new spirit. All right? He didn't repair your old spirit. Your old spirit was dead. Your old spirit didn't need healing. It was dead. Something dead doesn't need healing. It needs resurrection. His life was put into your dead spirit, resurrected you. Do you understand that? New, a new spirit, a new essence was put into you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Right? One translation says, a new species that never existed before. That's how new, right? Now, this is everything, right? Paul himself said in Galatians, he said, circumcision doesn't avail anything, uncircumcision doesn't avail anything, but the new creation, right? The new creation is the only thing that counts. Now, here's the problem. Most healing teachings try to fix you. See, I'm telling you, quit trying to be fixed. See, you, number one, you can't fix you anyway. Because the minute you touch you, you defile you. You understand? So you can't fix you. It was you that got you into this mess to begin with, for the most part. Okay? So quit trying to fix you. Now, God, knowing that you couldn't fix you, so he did something totally without your help. Now, he did it with your agreement. Right? He did it by your permission. But he didn't need your help. When he recreated your spirit, he did it all himself. You had nothing to do with it other than giving him permission to do it. Amen? You got that? Now, when you got born again, you became a new creation, a new species that never existed before. So if you could say, well, I got born on June 1st, 1982. Okay, from that day forward, you're a new creation. From that day backward, you don't exist. Do you understand that? Why? Because the old man was crucified with Christ, and that's the day you laid him to rest. Right? He's buried and gone. That means, now listen carefully, because this has to do with everything that's out there today. If you are a new creation, and you have to figure out what is that new creation. Well, the Bible says that we were created after the likeness and image of him that created us. It says that we were created in holiness and righteousness after him. You understand? So what you look like in the spirit, if somebody could say, well, your problem, see, your sickness is due to a problem in your spirit. You're sick in your spirit. That's why you're sick in your body. Okay, if that's true, you're not a new creation. Because the new creation in you is the Spirit of God in you, and the Spirit of God ain't sick. Right? You have to, look, it's real simple. Choose a side. Right? Just choose which family you're in. Quit straddling the fence and trying to claim both fathers. Claim one or the other. Right? Now, my dad, my earthly dad, he passed away March 11th of this year. In my early life, he was a policeman. Well, he was a policeman up until he passed away, as a matter of fact, technically. But when he was a police officer on the streets and when I was a kid, he drank very heavily to the point where he would have been classified probably as an alcoholic. That's what I was raised around. Now, I'm an only child. So according to the generational curse teaching, but the fact is, I've never tasted it. Matter of fact, I hate it. Why? Because according, and we'll look at this when we talk about generational curses in particular, but if you go back, if you just want to do some research, go to Ezekiel chapter 18 and read the story. All right? That ends it. That solves it right there. I saw my dad's sins, and I did not partake of them. I chose to go the other way. Right? And guess what? I'm under no curse. I'm under another. Why? Because it's an individual choice. Right? Whatever problem you're going through, it ain't your granddaddy's fault. Okay? Well, I'm an alcoholic because my granddaddy. No, not unless your granddaddy held you down and held that bottle to your mouth and poured the alcohol down your throat and did it on an ongoing basis for a long period of time until you developed an addiction. Right? If he did that, okay, then I would call it a generational curse. Right? But everything other than that is a choice. See, we're developing this victim mentality, and we've really perfected it in the church. And the fact is, you're not a victim, you're a victor. Amen? Amen? That's one of the things when I came here, I started seeing the signs. I love the name of this town, Victorville. Come on, this works. Amen? Your spirit was recreated. Now, according to Colossians, it says, and you are complete in Him. Right? Now, the in Him that's in Him, in you, is your spirit. You understand? Now, I'm going to show you how this works. What are you? We are spirit, soul, and body. Isn't that right? I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Right? Now, so the you, the real you, is a spirit. Right? You're not a human having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit having a human experience. Right? That's why you need to look at yourself. Now, so you are a spirit. Now, what spirit are you? Are you born again? Because if you're born again, then spiritually, you are everything that God made you. And you are nothing that God didn't make you in the spirit. You say, well, if that's true, how come I have such problems? Very simple. That's not all of you. Right? You are made up of three. Spirit, soul, and body. I'm telling you right now, if you're born again, you have absolutely no spiritual problems. None. Your spirit is complete in Christ. It's godly. It's right. It's righteous. If you drop dead right now, your righteous spirit would go to be with your righteous God. Amen? Amen? Now, your problem is not in the spirit. Your problem is in your head. Now, what I mean by that is, I'm not saying, well, you know, it doesn't exist, it's just in your head. No, I'm saying your problem is your head. Okay? That is your problem, right? And that is, now see what we know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, but in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, first off, Paul says, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy. Do you hear that, holy? I know it's a word you don't hear in church much, but anyway. Holy, right? Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not extraordinary service, reasonable. You hear that? Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice is reasonable service to God. Not something to get you a pat on the back. That's what is normal. It's what it should be. It's reasonable. Amen? Now, then he says, watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You understand that? Then it says, so that, or that you, may be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You hear that? Now, how can you prove the will of God? Well, the only way you can prove the will of God is have your mind renewed. If your mind is not renewed, you can't prove the will of God. Simple as that. That's why when you hear so many varying positions, listen, if two people are saying different things about the same topic, somebody's wrong. Amen? Isn't that simple? Two people cannot say opposite things about the same topic and both of them be right. Okay? Somebody's wrong. Now, let's look at some of these things that it says. Matter of fact, if you have a Bible, you can open it there to Romans 12 because I just want you to see it. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Now, conformed is basically saying, don't let the world mold you or shape you from the outside so that you look and talk and act like it. That's what it means. But instead of looking like the world, instead of the world forming, shaping you from the outside, instead, be ye transformed. Now that word transformed is the same word used for Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when it said that out of him came this bright light, and it came from inside. Now, what it's saying is, don't let the world shape you from the outside, but rather let what's in you be seen on the outside. In other words, be who you really are. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Right? Now, how are you going to be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Now, let's look at this. This is the only verse in the Bible that tells you how your life is going to be transformed. It does not say, but be ye transformed by the laying on of hands. It does not say, but be ye transformed by being blessed. Somebody blessing you. It doesn't say, but be ye transformed by sending in your vow offering. You understand that? All these things that we built up is because we don't want to take responsibility for our own selves. We want somebody else to change us in a twinkling of an eye from something that we have been enforcing in our own lives for 25 years. Now listen, to the degree that your mind is renewed to the Word of God, to that degree, your life is transformed. Let's say it another way. To the degree that your life looks now like it did before you were saved, to that degree, your mind is not renewed. If your life still looks like it did before you got saved, then your mind has not been renewed. In other words, you're letting the world shape you from the outside, and you're not letting what's in you be seen on the outside. Because all we're seeing is the same old you we used to see. So how do you transform your life? This is the key most people are trying to find. This is why we have all the counseling stuff going on. It's why we have people trying to fix people. And it's not about you fixing something. It's about you replacing what is in you with something else. Your problem is that you still see yourself, or you still act according to the way you used to act. Your problem is you have decided what you believe, and what you believe is not in accordance with this Word. Right? Well, I believe the Word of God. No, you think you do. I remember one time I was riding in the back of a truck, and I remember praying. And I was praying a spiritual prayer. I was sounding so holy, you know. It's one of those where I was really fed up with myself, and I'm praying, oh God, you know, oh God, when will I ever live what I believe? And I'll never forget it, because I'm thinking God's going to hear that prayer and say, oh, angels, listen. And instead, what I heard from heaven was, you are living what you believe. You just don't believe what you think you do. And immediately, I'm thinking, is there anybody else I could talk to up there? But the fact is, I didn't really believe, because you have to decide to change. The way your life is transformed is that you have to change your thinking to be in accordance with what's here. Now, let me explain this. What's in your spirit, you are complete in Him, right? Now, let's describe what complete means. I have a new granddaughter. Well, she's still new. She's a year and 2 months or something like that. So still new, okay? They were sending me videos of her trying to walk and moving around and all that kind of stuff. And I'm missing it to be here with y'all. So You better do something with this, right? I'm not here wasting my time, amen, and missing my grandkids growing up. So when she was born, we did what every grandparent does. When they wheel her out there, and they're behind the glass, and you look at them, and the first thing you do is you look and you start counting everything. Isn't it right? I had 2 legs, 2 arms, okay. We're good there, 2 ears, no, okay, good. Okay, count the fingers. Oh, yep, four fingers on it and a thumb on it. Yeah, good. Toes, good. Oh. And when you finish counting everything, you're like, oh, yeah, she's complete. Glory to God. Yeah, you hear that? She's complete. She's not grown, but she's complete. Hear that? When you got born again, you were born again in Him, complete. Do you realize she has everything she'll ever have? Just, you know, whenever she turns 15, she's not going to grow an extra arm. Right? She's going to have the same body part she has now. Growing up just means learning to use what you got. See, now I know she's growing up because she's starting to walk. What's she doing? She's learning how to use her legs. Right? So growing up is not getting more. Growing up is learning to use what you were born with. This is Christianity. It's not about you getting more. Oh, we need more. Oh, I got to get more. Oh, I'm going to a more conference. You don't need more. You need to use what you got. And using what you got is growing up. Amen? Do you understand this? See, for you to say that you need more, I mean, first off, God gave you Himself. You can't have more or less of a person. You understand? You either got Him or you don't. You've got Him and all of Him. Now, because He is God, we can all have all of Him. Amen? But there is nothing anywhere that tells you to have more of God. Nothing. Nothing. It is amazing the seminars that are out there that have no basis in Scripture. None. And it's all about calling something down or calling something up or getting more of this or getting more of that. And none of that's in the Bible. What it says is you are complete in Him. Now, the best way I can illustrate this, and I'm by no stretch a technologically literate person, okay? But one of the things that upsets me, I just don't like it, is whenever you go to a store and now you have to buy software and you get a disc. Like, I bought a PC Study Bible. That's the one I use in all my studies. Usually it's PC Study Bible. And when I bought that, I loaded it up. And I'm like, what? Because I look on the package, it says it's got all this. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And I didn't notice that besides some of it was a little lock. And other things were open locks, you know. And I just see those list of stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, this has got a lot of stuff on it. So I take it home and load it up. And the thing had about a third that I could get to that was actually on the box. And I thought, what's going on here? It won't open up. And it comes up, if you want to purchase this, go online and pay this money. And I'm like, I already purchased this. I got the disc. I have the disc. And what I'm trying to open is on that disc. Isn't it right? But they got it locked, and I can't get to it. And I have to go online and purchase the key to unlock it. Isn't it right? And when I punch in that key, it opens up that other book or whatever else it is. Isn't it right? Now, very few things make me madder than that. Because it's on there. Now, if it wasn't on there and they had to send me another one, that's one thing. But it's on there. And bless God, I bought this. This is mine. I should be able to get to anything on that, right? So it just really upsets me. So if you have a key to break those things, let me know. No, I'm just kidding. But when I started realizing this, this is who we are. When you got born again, it was all downloaded into you. It's in there. When He sent His Spirit, everything His Spirit has is in there. There is nothing you can get from anywhere else. You understand? Now, there are parts of you that needs to be unlocked. And what unlocks the parts you're missing is understanding. That's why there's two main places you ought to read. One is, of course, the book of Proverbs, where Solomon said, in all thy getting, get understanding. Right? And then you tie that with Mark chapter 4. And you find out that the sower was sowing the word. And it says in there that the only time that it talks about where the fowls come and get it, and then you read what it's talking about, is it says what was stolen was what wasn't understood. If you understood it, now get this, if you understand it, the devil can't steal it from you. But until you understand it, he can steal it. So the key is understanding, right? So the key to opening what you have is understanding. Now, what you're getting this week is going to be greater understanding in the area of healing and in the power of God and how it flows. Okay? Now, when you got born again, you were born complete. Everything's in there. What you have to realize is this. You have to start getting you out of the way so that what's in you can come out and be seen on the outside. Now, the way your life is transformed is by the renewing of the mind. So the mind obviously has something to do with allowing the Spirit of God to be manifested. Right? Now, amazing thing is, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says. And that treasure that we have is Jesus. It is the Spirit of God. It is eternal life. It is the things of God. Right? We have that in us. It's abiding. It's not coming from heaven. Right? It's in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have it. You got that? Now, since you have it, the only way that the human spirit, or the Spirit of God in us, can relate to the world, the only way that you can know what's in me is if I open my mouth and speak. Right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? So the only way that my spirit and or slash the Spirit of God can communicate with the world is by some form of sense knowledge. I have to write it so you can read it. I have to say it so you can hear it. You understand? Or I have to put my hands on you to touch you. There has to be some way that these are the only ways that you can experience the things that are in the Spirit. It's through physical means. Isn't that right? Now, what allows the Spirit to flow through us? Before you can, now get this, you can have the word you want to speak and hear. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And if I speak his words, I'm speaking spirit and life. I can have these words in here. Right? But before that word can come out of here, it has to go through my mind. And my mind has to form the words to say the thing I'm trying to say. Right? So the mind either works with or works against the Spirit. Now, the carnal mind, the Bible says, is enmity against God. Right? And the natural man cannot receive the things of God because it's enmity at war against him. He can't understand it. And the carnal mind is never subject to the law of God. You know what the Bible says? So, as long... Now, carnal means to be sense-ruled. That means that you believe what you see more than that you see what you believe. Right? Now, a person that believes what they see will always end up following a person who sees what they believe. Right? So you have to decide what you're going to see. And what you're going to see has to be this book. Now, I'm taking you... The key to this is this. When the words of this book become more real to you than that cancer in the person in front of you, then guess what? That cancer will bow its knee to what you see. Amen? Do you understand that? So the key is this word being what you decide to see. I've said before, you're going to have to fall in love with this book. Right? I stand by that. This book has to be more to you than anything else. This book has to mean more to you, and the words in this book, rightly divided, rightly understood, okay, has to mean more to you than your associations. Because your associations are your biggest hindrance. Right? You are in God where you want to be. You say, well, no, that's not true. I want more. No, if you really wanted more or wanted to be different, you would do what it takes to be different, but usually you settle. And it's usually you settle for what those around you settle with. That's why if you're smart, you'll always hang around people that are slightly above you. Right? You say, well, that doesn't sound fair to the people slightly above. Sorry. They ought to pick better friends. I always told my daughters, marry up. Marry somebody spiritually stronger than you, somebody that, you know, that is going to help you grow in God. And I had somebody tell me one time, well, what if the boy's parents are telling them the same thing? I said, well, then my girls will have to convince them that they're smarter than them until they get married. And I always said my daughter Rebecca would marry the first guy she couldn't whoop. She hadn't found him yet, I don't guess. But in your spirit, because you were born complete. Now, do you realize the ramifications of this? That means you don't have to have anything added to you. It means you're not missing anything. It means the only thing between you and the life you're supposed to live and the life you know you're supposed to live is understanding. That's the only difference. Now, that understanding comes with a responsibility, and that responsibility will be the producer of actions. So you have to make decisions to act a certain way and to change. And really what it comes down to is you have to decide that what's in this book is the way you're going to live no matter what, and you're going to talk it, live it. The world would call it obsessed. Right? When the world calls you obsessed, they'll be calling you for help. You understand? There was a, what was it, William Booth used to say, no one ever created a statue or a monument to a man who left good and well enough alone. You understand? You have to, in you, the way that the Spirit of God is going to come out through you, it's almost as if because our carnal minds are more focused on what we see, touch, hear, feel, that kind of stuff. It's like our minds are running parallel with the world. Right? Running parallel. But our spirit is running parallel with God. Right? And because of this, see, that has to fight through. And it doesn't usually get through. So we have to renew our minds to where our minds are no longer running parallel with the world, but are running parallel with the Word of God. And when it does, then the Spirit of God in us has free rein to operate through us and flow through us. Okay? Now, when you first start, usually, boy, we're kind of jumping right in the middle of this here. I'm not going to send you to break too, don't I? Well, no, not yet. We're good. This way or that way? There we go. Yeah. Now we're good. Okay. When you first start, I'll make statements and we'll come back to them a little bit later on, and you'll see it in the messages themselves. The gifts of the Spirit. Let me ask you this. Yeah, I'll do it this way. I'll make you mad at yourself. That way you won't be mad at me. What is the place where the gifts of the Spirit are talked about in the Bible? Where is that at? 1 Corinthians what? 12 and Romans 12 also, right? Okay. And which one of those lists are more complete? 1 Corinthians 12? Okay, that's good. Okay. Now, that being the case, do you know who the book of 1 Corinthians was written to? The church of Corinth. Yeah. Okay. Now, which is the only church that Paul ever said, you are carnal and messed up? Yeah, 1 Corinthians, right? Now, think about that. The only place that the gifts of the Spirit are mentioned in detail happens to be the same place and to the same church that Paul says, you are the most unspiritual bunch I've ever met. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now, their problem, and he told them, he said, your problem is you're carnal. You're carnally minded. He called them brethren, so we know they're born again, right? They're born again, but they're carnally minded, right? Which means, and he even said, here's how I know you're carnally minded, because you say you like Paul, you like Peter, you like Apollos, you divide up. He said, that's one of the ways, as long as there's envy and strife and divisions among you, I know you're carnal. Why? Because you're still looking on the outward man. You're still talking about, well, I like his delivery, and I don't like him, and I don't like his attitude. And no, you listen to the message. Right? You can't go by the other stuff. Because all the other stuff is peripherals. It's the message that's by the Spirit. Now, Paul told the Corinthian church, you are carnal, and you're messed up. And the amazing thing is, as I said, that's the only place that the gifts are really enumerated or defined to any real degree. Now, I would put this and let you think about it, and we are going to talk about it more a little bit later on. You never really see manifestations, or I'll put it this way, you never see any gifts technically operating in Jesus' life. Now, you see things happening. You see miracles. You see healings. You see stuff. But you don't ever say, you don't ever see where it said, and Jesus gave them a word of knowledge. Or Jesus gave them, a word of wisdom. Or a thing like that. It says at times he knew what was in their heart. He perceived their thoughts. But it doesn't tie it in with the gifts, even though I know some people would. Now, we know that the gifts are manifestations of the Spirit. We know that Jesus walked in the fullness of the Spirit. Now, when you walk in the fullness of the Spirit, as opposed to walking in manifestations of the Spirit, now the difference is Jesus was not carnal. He was not immature. He was a full-grown Son of God. Right? And the only place that it's mentioned about gifts are to carnal, unspiritual people. Now, again, try not to get into this too deep at this point, but I just want you to realize being used in the gift. How many of y'all have ever noticed, maybe you shouldn't raise your hand, how many of you have ever noticed that many people that seem to operate in strong gifts sometimes are the most carnal? Isn't that something? I mean, it's like, man, I'll go to him and I'll get him to lay hands on me, but I can't stand that guy. I do not, and it's funny, we look at him, we're like, I don't understand it. I mean, I know that guy, and I would not go into business with him, but if I get sick, he can get me healed like that. I don't understand. Doesn't God know that he has no character? Well, maybe what it is that he's just available. You understand? See, we look at it like, well, if I get spiritual enough, if I pray enough, fast enough, and get spiritual enough, then God maybe will give me a gift of faith or a gift of healing. But no, he gave those to the carnal, unspiritual, immature Corinthians. Maybe it's not so much about the gifts. Now, I'm not telling you not to covet the gifts. If you're carnally minded, covet the gifts. Right? Because you need them. Right? And God manifests himself because you don't know what to do. You're carnally minded. You're immature. You're a baby in Christ. So you don't know how to operate. I mean, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to fix the problem. So God manifests a gift. Bam, takes care of it for you. And then in the church today, people are thinking, wow, a gift. You ought to be in leadership. No, you shouldn't. It's a gift. Operator's gift. So that's what happened with William Branham. See, William Branham traveled with F.F. Bosworth and with Gordon Lindsay. Right? Now, Gordon Lindsay was an amazing man of God, but he's known as a connector. Okay? Wisdom of God, very good. F.F. Bosworth, everybody knows he was a teacher of the Word of God. No doubt about it. He's known for healing, but not just for healing, but because he could teach it. Okay? William Branham, everybody knows him for the Word of Knowledge. I mean, that man's, just amazing. I got video of him. Amazing. I mean, he would tell you where you lived, the street address, what car you drove up in. He could give you the license plate number of your car. I mean, amazing stuff. And yet, when it came to Bible doctrine, he was so far off, it isn't even funny. Right? It was bad. But it's because he messed up when he got over into an area that takes maturity. You understand? But whenever he just gave way to the Spirit of God to work through him, that was pure spirit, and it just worked. But man, he started talking about history or Bible history, and he'd be talking about the Amalekites coming in and fighting against Napoleon. just messed up, all right? I mean, he had no understanding of that, and that's what got him in trouble, because he would operate the gift, and people would go, ooh, look at that gift. He must know what he's talking about. And then he would teach something that was so wrong, and it got people messed up. In reality, what should have happened was F.F. Bosworth or Gordon Lindsay should have got up and taught the Word of God and ministered to the people with the Word of God and said, all right, now that's what God wants you to know. Now, How many of you need help and healing? You need this thing? Okay. Oh, Brother Branham, he's going to help you with that. And then when he got done with that, he should have sat down and shut up. See? But see, we don't know how to work like that. We think a gift shoots you to the top of the heap. Now all of a sudden, you should be in leadership. Right? Remember this. Gifts are given. Fruit is grown. Go after fruit, not just gifts. Amen? You understand that? Now, I'm not saying don't go after gifts. You pursue them. You know, if you need help, great. I'm just saying, don't think because a person operates in a gift that they necessarily know what they're talking about. Right? Check everything according to the Word of God. Go through everything in the Word of God. Amen? Now, I'm getting back into this because I want to be able to take you and I'm going to have to send you to break. You people just need too many breaks. No. Yeah, I got to send you. It's like I say that and I keep talking anyway. Now, when God changed, I was serious, I keep talking anyway. Whenever God fixed your spirit, after that, He is not, in the Bible even, there are two types of sculptors. In the Old Testament, God would take a piece of clay and He would form it from the outside. Why? They weren't born again. Right? They didn't have His Spirit dwelling. They were not born again people. Right? So He would take clay and, you know, those kind of sculptors, they take clay and then when they need to fix it, they take more clay and they pack it on and take more clay and they throw some water in there and they form this thing. Right? That's one type of sculptor. That's the type of sculptor the Bible talks about in the Old Testament. That's not the New Testament type of sculptor that God is. In the New Testament, the type of sculptor is more like a Michelangelo. In that, whenever he did the statue of David, and even of Moses at one point, when he did the statue of David, they said, how did you do it? Because it was such perfect. You look at it, it's still a work of art even today. They said, how did you do that? He said, it's very simple. He took this big block of marble, just a big stone. And he said, I saw David in that. And I had to release him from it. And so I just chipped away everything that wasn't David. That's the New Testament type of sculptor God is. God knows you're in here. So He spends the time not adding to, but chipping away everything that is not the new creation. Do you understand? Only difference is now you, the you that's in there, when you're grown up, you're going to look like Jesus. So the you that He's trying to release is the you that looks like Jesus. So what God sees in you is Jesus. And so He just chips away all of you until only Jesus is left. Amen? That's the key. So the key is for you to die, and every time you die, a little more of you falls away, and a little more of Jesus is left and revealed. Amen? If you get this, you'll always understand, God is not trying to add to you. He's trying to take away from you. See, your problem, I heard it all the time. Well, my problem is, you know, I got head knowledge, it needs to become heart knowledge. No, you've got heart knowledge, it needs to become head knowledge. That's why He said, you're a new creation, but you have to have your mind renewed. Why? Because that's where the problem is. We've got it backwards. You've got heart knowledge that has to be into your head so your mind can be renewed. And when you do that, the more your mind is renewed, the more of Him that is released through you. Amen? So it's not adding more to you. Your problem is not that you... It's funny, people say, I need to learn more. No, you don't. Your problem is you know too much. But the problem is you know too much of the wrong things. See, when we get done with this, the one thing I hear about this message more than anything else is, this is so simple. This is so simple. It's the funny thing is, part of the second most thing I hear is, you know, I've always believed this. I've always known what you've said is right, but I was taught it wasn't right. Or I was taught another way. Well, that's because He is in you. And He's constantly trying to tell you, this is right. This is simple. This is not hard. It's right. Amen? Take a quick break. Quick break.